We begin the first hour of KSCO Presents The Futures.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO Presents The Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks. Happy Future Tuesday. Hey, Mrs. Future.
Aloha.
Yes, she's at the controls as usual.
That's
one of
right.
these days, I'll get to the controls. One of these days. Meanwhile, I've got all my own.
Once you get the controls, then I know everything will be out of control.
It'll be a slightly different show, but it's okay. Actually, we do have some of that in the second hour.
Mm-hmm.
Amara Angelica is coming in to talk about the brain-computer interface, the head in the clouds segment, mm-hmm. about the latest stuff that's going on in that world, like mm-hmm. Neuralink and their ability to monitor and to read and write to our brains.
Yes, yes.
Things
that we've only seen in movies are being invented as we speak.
Yes, we'll learn the latest of what actually is real and compare it to the movies. So that you'll have an understanding of brain-computer interfaces, a scintillating topic at the dinner table, should you feel so inclined.
Mm. Well, I guess we'll talk about whose brain needs to be connected to the interface.
Yeah. Or you can tell who is present and who's somewhere else. That's for the second hour. And also at 2:30, we're having Taylor Barcroft come in. He's our
Apple on the spot.
Apple on the spot guy, agent on the Apple scene, as Apple just did a major presentation of their new gadgets this year, the new iPhones and the iPads and watches and all that good stuff. So we'll be getting into that at about 2:30.
Mm-hmm. It was the iOS show.
Yeah, exactly. Taylor gets really excited about that stuff, so it should be fun.
Mm-hmm.
In the first half hour, we're going to do our news. We have a short news thing, but so we're going to get into it. But first, I want to mention we went sailing with MZ this weekend, a friend of
yes,
his,
Maurice. Yes, and his
Maurice.
Friend Maurice, a former Santa Cruz local,
yeah.
associated with Marianne's Ice Cream.
His dad
as a
started
kid.
Marianne's, right?
Yeah.
And part of the old crew there, and we went outside of the gate, out of the Golden Gate.
Right.
47-foot boat.
Sailing on the ocean. It was invigorating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much, you guys. That was really nice.
And poor MZ got a little seasick, but hopefully he'll not do that in the future. Stay well. Stay inside the gate, I think.
Well, let's be fair. Before he got seasick,
he was a good
He
steering.
Was master of the sails.
That's
he
true.
Was the natural in terms of steering into the wind. So,
yes.
I have some great videos of him.
To be continued.
He really likes being,
I just had the shots of him being green. I didn't get the good ones.
Yeah, well, that's the difference between guys and girls. I was like, I see people in their highest light, and you see people when they're turning green.
No, I just, I couldn't resist. But I do have some good shots, too, but probably not as good as yours.
Mine are epic. Mine are really wonderful. You see the essence of the leadership style of captain of the ship.
All right.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we've got some space news this week. The Chandrayaan 2, the ship from India. You probably have all heard what went wrong with that. Maybe not as
yet.
Yes,
we were watching the live stream on the web as India's lunar lander was making its final descent.
Yes.
And it was really, really great until just about the last kilometer.
The last kilometer where something happened and it sort of crash landed, but it didn't get destroyed. It just landed on its side, they think.
Yes, they're still analyzing what happened, but they did manage to take a picture of it from their orbiter, which is still going around.
That's the main thing. That's where most of the science is happening on the orbiter. The Chandrayaan 2 entered the moon's orbit on August 20th and was due to land on the lunar surface a little after midnight on September 7th. But the contact was lost just moments before the lander. That was called Vikram.
Mm-hmm.
It was expected to touch down near the South Pole, where the Chinese, I might add, have a lander there already.
That's right. And our doing research all the time. They have some very interesting research that we have covered in some of the links
today. We'll do
today.
That before our space news is over.
Mm-hmm.
So the lander's heart-stopping descent was, you know, watched by millions around the world. It was really fun to see the Prime Minister of India come and arrive and go up there to the VIP gallery to watch. And you know, the Indians were very proud of this moment.
As they should be. It takes a lot to get up there.
Yeah.
Even more to land. I can't help but think how ironic it is that it looks like what might have happened is that the lander landed in a pothole.
A pothole. Well, what would create that pothole? Just another lander?
I don't know.
A lunar highway?
Meteorite.
That would be probably more likely, yes.
Right.
Yes. Well, the consensus among the guessers right now is that there must have been some kind of the lander's central engine, that the readings on the screen suggest that the lander started falling more rapidly than it should, when it's supposed to come down more slowly, about 2 meters per second when it hits the lunar surface.
Yeah. So they were hoping for a nice, soft, slow landing relatively, and instead they had a relatively fast landing.
Yeah, maybe
it was just too much.
Thrust it required wasn't there, so it needed more deceleration. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's the latest theory. Inside it, there's their rover. They had the lander, the Vikram, and the little rover was inside that and was ready to explore the South Pole
Still ready to explore. You know, next time an astronaut gets in the neighborhood,
open the door for the for the rover.
Yeah, bring some kind of a car jack and tilt it up and get it level, and then you should be able to roll the rover out.
27 kilograms. For the rover, that's,
60 pounds,
something like that. It had the ability to travel about 500 meters from the lander last 2 weeks. Well, the orbiter was supposed to last at least a year. It'll probably last many, many years. And it's in a stable orbit, and it's got a lot of really cool instruments on board that will bring us some real top-notch information about the lunar conditions as we pursue this mission down the line. The terrain mapping camera, for example, and we'll be able to do detailed cartography of the lunar surface from orbit, pretty high resolution. And from that, they'll be able to create 3D maps of the surface and look at some of these often elusive topographies on the surface that lock up supplies of water ice. In the shadows of some of the larger craters, there can be quite a bit of water ice there.
Mm-hmm.
To aid that, they have a sophisticated radar that will be able to look into the shadow areas in even more depth. That will bounce off and warp into the surface level formations, and they'll be able to calculate the thicknesses of the formations that they see, especially the water formations, because how much water is there is one of the big mysteries.
It's funny. You know, we had the gold rush here in California 150 years ago. Here we have the water rush going on the moon right now. Everybody wants to get up there and find the water, so that we can explore space.
They also have an infrared spectrometer, where you'll be able to see how hot the rocks are. And from that, and in analyzing the color of the rocks, you'll be able to understand their structure and form and what they're made out of. Pretty cool.
Well, sounds like we're...
And the X-ray monitor, they'll be able to study the sun, too. It's not just the surface. They'll be able to look at the sun as well. So a lot going on with the Indian Space Program. That's just beginning, really. So losing the lander was just a small part of their overall mission.
Back after this break.
Okay, welcome back to the Futures. And we have a caller, Mrs. Future?
Yeah, let's say hi to Jim in Salinas. He wants to ask a question about lunar landings. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Hi. I enjoy your show each week. I look forward to it.
Thank you.
I have a really simple question.
Sure.
You know, there's all this controversy, people always talking about we didn't land on the moon and things.
Right.
But we left 3 or 4 lunar rovers on there, and plus the landing modules. Have you ever seen a picture of any of them?
There's a lot of controversy about that, but yes, there has been pictures of them. They've taken from lunar orbit. They're so small, they'd be impossible to see from a Earth-based telescope. But there are lunar pictures, and they show the tracks of where the lunar rovers went, and you can look at all that. There's quite a bit of evidence to show that we're there. Also, the laser reflectors that were left by the Apollo astronauts allow us to aim lasers at the moon and get accurate reflections of how far the moon is from the Earth and its orbital velocity and things like that. And that has been a standard information collected by many institutions and universities around the world. So that's all pretty well known.
That certainly ought to answer the question, then.
Thank you
very much.
You bet.
Well, you know, you hear it all the time, and I just don't understand. Hey,
well,
picture there they are on the moon.
Yeah, you know it is,
and we can count the dimples on a golf ball. You know, from low Earth.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, sure.
Why can't we just say, hey, look, there's a lunar rover?
You can. You can look it up on the net and see those things for yourself. They're not secret. They're pretty well known. The deeper question is why people need to believe in these stories.
Yeah, why would they rather ignore hardcore evidence and pretend that it's fake to believe something that has no evidence at all?
I think it's a certain mentality or a certain way of thinking about things. Something's being hidden from us and we're discovering some deeper truth that you reveal to your friends and it gets your attention. Something like that. I don't know, but that's my guess.
Yeah, I pulled out some old articles from when I was a child. You know, I did reports for school and things on Mercury and the Apollo missions, each one after the other, all documented, and I don't understand where the skepticism comes from.
You're welcome. Ask your friend about what they think of the flat Earth theories. See what they say.
Abiotic oil.
Thank you. Yeah, a lot of interesting stories, theories, and a lot of interesting conspiracy theories, but we try to get to what we think is real. You know, one of the things about reality is that it's often weirder than the stories.
As Terrence McKenna likes to say, not only is reality stranger than you imagine, it's stranger than you can imagine.
Well, let's look at some new evidence of lunar weirdness coming from the China's U-2 rover.
All right. Yes, the folks who landed in January.
Now, the Chinese are a little less
successfully
forthcoming about details on what they're discovering on the moon, as you would probably expect them to be. But they have released some information suggested, in their words, that there was a gel-like substance discovered in a small crater near the South Pole.
Although some people believe gel-like, it might be a bad translation.
Gel-like?
It may be plasma or glass. Or
might be a glass created by a meteor hitting, like the trentonite that exists near the nuclear blast zone in New Mexico.
That kind of thing, yes.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like sand or dust or rock. It looks like something smooth and shiny and mysterious.
So this discovery was published in Drive Diary. That's for the U-2, which literally means jade rabbit, in the Chinese government-sanctioned publication, Our Space.
So the U-2-2 is the Chinese rover on the moon at the South Pole.
Yes, and it was the Chang'e 4 mission, which is up there now. They made the discovery July 25th on day 8 of its mission. And so they postponed other driving plans so they could take a better look at this strange material with the rover's instruments.
Oh, boy, that's so funny to imagine the control room for the Chinese lunar rover, and everybody's got their schedule for their time at the helm, and then all of a sudden all of the maps have to be put on hold so that they can stop and look at a rock.
Yeah, and it's just lucky, you know, the Indians were going for the South Pole, too. It's lucky that didn't land on top of the Chinese rover the way down. That would be a disaster. Anyway, that's cartoon thinking. So, yes, they found something of unexpected color and luster down by the South Pole. So we have another caller, Mrs. Future?
Yes, we have a lot of interest in the moon. We have Rich in Capitola.
Rich.
Hi, Rich.
Hey there.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. What do you think?
Well, I think we didn't go to the moon because remember when they hit that golf ball?
Yeah, you'd think the parameters were wrong on the way it was hit?
Well, they said it sliced. You can't slice when there's no air. You got to have air resistance to make it curve.
What do you think would happen in no air?
It would go just off the club. It wouldn't. There no air would catch it, and it wouldn't curve.
You said it would go straight out, like a.
It would just go straight from where they shot it.
Uh-huh.
That's all.
Hmm. Well, that's an interesting question. Let's see if we can find some video of them doing that. I'm being curious.
I haven't seen a golf club on the moon.
I've seen the golf club, but when I saw it, was really hard to see the ball. I mean, it was really low res, crappy black and white video.
This is what they were saying in the audio. Somebody said, "Hey, you hit a slice." the other.
So let's examine the logic
let's
here.
Let's look
so
more closely
some,
here.
Yeah, some guy who thinks he knows something about golf is saying that we didn't go to the moon because a picture of somebody hitting a golf ball is fake.
No,
that
well,
is so they, silly.
The slicing. Maybe there's this language.
One of the astronauts said, "It's slicing."
Slicing. Okay, maybe he didn't know his golf terminology.
The other thing is, how could they survive when it's 250 degrees Fahrenheit sitting in the sun there inside that lander?
They prepared. They didn't stay very long.
Well, there's an interesting documentary that addresses these issues that's on NPR right now that's all about the lunar shock.
Yeah, if you really want to know the facts from all of the published data
PBS.
Of many, many people in many, many news organizations at the time, instead of some guesser years later who thinks he knows better than the past, then you might want to check out some documentaries that have been made.
I have. I checked out a lot of them. I checked out excellent books. I've checked out videos. I've checked out all kinds of things.
All right. Well, let's take it at face value then. Let's say this is right information. Let's look at the evidence. Let's get that video shot, and we'll take a look at it. Okay? See if it, my guess is that the ball is too small to have actually been seen. That's my guess. And you know.
No, the other astronaut was reporting, "Hey, you hit a slice," he says.
Let's listen to it. Find it, listen to it, look more closely.
If you want to send us a link, we'll look at it.
Over 200 degrees minus zero, below zero in the shade.
We're having people calling it how ridiculous that is. So we would have figured out how to deal with the temperature extremes, and we did. They landed at a certain time. It was designed to handle the temperatures that were there. They talk about the temperature problems. There were other bigger problems than temperature, like the dust and its corrosive capacities. There's a lot of real detail there. We don't have to go into the conspiracies unnecessarily.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, we do have another call from John in Santa Cruz.
Maybe if they saw a UFO, that was interesting. That might be fun. But.
Hi, John. Welcome to the show.
Hey, John.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Good.
We're good.
You know, I can't get over how foolish, I mean, not directing this at your last caller, but people that think you didn't go to the moon, it's ridiculous. You know, I got a friend of mine that sees all the Van Allen belt. Well, come on. We figured it out. You know?
Yeah, we figured a lot of stuff out. That's right.
The fact that we knew it was there meant that we were dealing with thinking about it, right?
Yeah. I mean, if we didn't go to the moon, and long, long ago when we said we did, it was a race for intellectual superiority between us, China, and Russia, all the superpowers.
Right.
If we didn't go to the moon, the first people not whack, quoting Bible verses and the Van Allen belt crap that you would be getting this information from would have been the Chinese and the Russians government saying no. You know, and it's not like we're a censored country. I mean,
absolutely. I mean, we may have an issue with too much fake news, but at least we have more information than we know what to do with, not censored information that's filtered by a few know-it-alls.
Like the Chinese are doing with their spacecraft. Yeah.
And it was at that time, it was a race for intellectual superiority into space. If we did not go to the moon, the first person that were the first countries, not people, not some quack with his theory that would be debunking whether or not would have been the Chinese and the Russians saying, no, we didn't go there.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows we went there. I mean, it's like Trump's wall. If we were to just tell the majority of the people that love him that say, oh, yeah, no, the wall's built, it's all good, half of them would believe it, you know, and we could put this to rest.
Well, I guess that's what you call faith-based facts. I personally believe that it's wise to separate things that are provable from things that aren't provable. And let's not argue about things that aren't provable. And let's use evidence for things that are provable.
And again, it all comes down to the Chinese and the Russians. They would have been the first countries to say, no, that didn't happen. They're the ones that had a stake in it. And again, and I've said it before, it was a race for intellectual superiority to see who could get there first. And you know what? We went there, we walked on the moon, and we had a number of people that have been and landed on the moon, our rovers. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, 17 Apollo missions before the current era.
I know a friend that works in the studio industry. He says, oh, they could have done that in a studio. I mean, you know how many people it would take to fake something like that and to not at some point say, oh, okay, yeah, great.
All right. Hey, listen, it's time for us to go to a break, John. Thanks
yeah,
for
thanks.
The call.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate your input on this.
Hey, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Duly noted,
I'm
sir.
I'm with you, sir.
Duly noted.
Thank you.
Google search how many golf balls on the moon, and you'll find a verbatim word-by-word story about what actually happened, and I think you'll find it very revealing.
Oh, can you see?
Emma, do we have enough time?
Why don't you read it? Yeah, we'll go to the break when you're done reading.
Yeah. Yeah, Shepard. This is one, he says, 135.08.58. Shepard, got more dirt than ball. Here we go again. Al's second swing pushes the ball about 2 or 3 feet, mostly along the line towards the TV camera rather than along the line of the swing. 135.09.01, Hayes, that looks like a slice to me, Al. That's where the word slice comes in. 135.09.03, Shepard, here we go. Straight as a die, one more, long pause. Al's third swing finally connects and sends the ball off camera to the right, apparently on a fairly low trajectory. He drops a second ball, which rolls left toward the TV camera. Al gets himself in position and connects again. The trajectory of this shot appears to be similar to the previous one. At 135.09.20, Shepard, miles and miles and miles. What do you think he's referring to there? How far the ball went, right?
He really connected with it, huh?
And Hayes says, very good, Al, very good. That's an excerpt from the transcript with Alan Shepard on the moon.
All right. So there you have it. Great for radio. We'll be back after this. Talk to you.
Thanks, Brother Norm. Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. Yeah, the final conclusion of me reading that excerpt on the air was to show that it was a joke. It was basically the slice of the ball on the moon was a joke, and these guys were just joking around. So a whole conspiracy theory is based on a joke.
We got to move on, folks.
Yeah, we got a lot to cover.
We have guests in the studio. We got a lot to cover.
We have Taylor Barcroft on next. Taylor is an avid Apple enthusiast. He's been tracking it since the very early days, back to the Macintosh and before even. He is going to give us a report on what just happened this morning.
It's Christmas in September. Oh, boy. Yeah, can everybody see the huge grin on my face?
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
you're happy.
Wow.
Wonder why.
It's Nirvonics for you.
You want to start at the beginning of the presentation, or do you want to just jump to it?
I want to just go to the most exciting thing first and then work backwards.
Well, that was the Apple Watch, of course.
I thought that was the least exciting. Are you serious?
Are you serious?
Yeah, no, I like the new camera on the new iPhone.
Okay, well,
it's
that's...
But anyway, let's go to the watch.
Me, the
yeah,
most
I asked
exciting,
you. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry.
And that's the Apple Watch Series 5. That means everybody with a Series 0, 1, 2, and 3 can... skip the 4, which has already been discontinued, and jump to a fantastic always-on 5 with a S5 processor.
Yeah. That's the always-on was the cool
efficiency
feature, I thought.
Always-on is what, that was what they were shooting for. That was the number one most requested feature.
People don't
How
like to have
their
phone
that?
Go off and on.
They got the processor, the S5 processor's got energy management on it so that it can reduce the amount of energy that's
that
being
amazing.
Required to continuously illuminate the screen.
Yeah, I like that.
Down to 1%. Mm-hmm. I've got bulbs that are running on 1% in my house, LED bulbs, and they're just almost as bright as 100%. 1% is not that much dimmer than 100%. And they doubled the storage to 32 gig. Nobody saw that.
On the watch?
That wasn't even mentioned in the presentation, but I looked it up.
So how much of your music library are you going to keep on your watch now?
Well, I don't really use it. I've got a whole bunch on the watch already, podcasts and stuff, but I don't really use it that way. I use it tethered to the phone always. It's the same price as last year, so the tricked out 44 millimeter Series 5 will only cost you $608, including the insurance. $608, including the Apple Care Plus insurance.
And does that mean that they replace it?
$529 plus $79.
That's
that means
the,
they replace it if it breaks? What is the insurance?
Well, I'm surprised you get Apple Care with that. Right, at least 2 years of AppleCare, maybe?
Yeah, you get 2 years of, as I said, 2 years of AppleCare for $79, right. Including, it's $529 plus $79.
Yeah, you know, I'm just wondering if it was a good idea me getting that Series 4 last year, Taylor.
Well, yeah, the Series 4, yeah,
I discontinued. Or live without it.
I just got it, you know?
Well, it's not bad. It's just that it doesn't have the always-on display, and that's probably going to drive you crazy.
Yeah.
But if I had a Series 4, I'd probably wait for Series 6.
Yeah, okay.
But I have a Series 3, and I was crossing my fingers for Series 5 because there were rumors that there wasn't going to be a Series 5, which Apple did a good job of keeping a secret because nobody knew about the S5 processor until it was presented this morning.
Oh, that's the new faster processor.
Faster, more efficient, and with energy management so that the screen can be the energy to the...
Can stay on all the time.
The power to the screen can be dropped from 100% to 1%, and you can still see everything.
You can still see it. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so your watch doesn't really go off. It just goes down 99% in brightness.
Yeah, it's an always-on watch. It's never not on. I don't know if there's an option to turn it off or not yet.
And that saves most of the power, of course. Yeah,
there's a lot of great things about the watch. You have to see the presentation to really
They have a great little video of
pull it
too,
together.
I love their video for the watch.
That there's going to be an Apple Research app that the watch is going to let you participate in a heart and movement study, a women's health study, and
have
a hearing study.
Have you done any of those participations?
I bought the Series 3 in order to do the heart study, the Apple Stanford Heart Study. And 6 months after I bought the watch, the study was already discontinued.
Oh, so it didn't go anywhere. But it's a start.
That was
right?
18
it was
months ago.
Yeah. So it's off to a slow start, but they're getting the technology in place for us to be part of all these beta tests of new
technology. There's going to be a research app coming up where you can sign up for the app.
Medical research.
Yeah, I want to do the heart and movement study for sure.
Yeah. Sign up here, and you too can be
And there's
Apple.
A compass now on the watch. There wasn't a compass before, and an app to go with it.
Yes, that's right.
And it's made with 100%. The aluminum ones are made with 100% recycled aluminum for the first time. And then there's titanium, steel, titanium,
the titanium
and ceramic
is the high-end
cases.
Ones. Yeah, if you
ceramic's the high.
Highest?
Yeah.
Okay, so
it's only white ceramic.
Ceramic, then titanium, and then
steel.
Steel, and then recycled aluminum.
Right.
Don't they have a new gold as well? Or is that just the phone?
No, it's just the aluminum and steel gold. Mm. Phone had gold already. This is a gold Tennis Max.
Yeah. Well, Craig Federini said they have a new gold.
No, they have a new, what they call midnight green, which is a really beautiful green color for the Pro and the Pro Max. The only difference between the aluminum and the rest of them is the aluminum has an ion X strengthened glass, while the other ones have sapphire crystal glass on the front, so it's supposed to be stronger, but I've never had any problems. I don't have any scratches.
Okay.
My phone looks like brand. My Series 3, that's 2 years old, looks just like new now.
Yeah, I like my Series 4, despite that it's not always on.
Yeah, just wait for the Series 6. You're fine. You got plenty of power there. That's the main thing.
Unless I talk too much on the walkie-talkie. We'll
see. Got the bigger screen. That's the main thing.
Yeah. All right, so there was a lot more than the watch. There's Apple TV. There was...
Apple TV you get free if you buy an iPhone, an iPad, an iPod Touch, or a Mac. You get a year of
free,
Apple
if you
TV
buy it,
Plus for
but
free.
But what you do is that it looks like they're starting their own kind of streaming media service, kind of like Netflix and Amazon Prime. And
subscription
We talked about
HBO,
that last time.
Yeah, well, we're going to bring the audience up to speed.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And
new and improved.
Yeah.
And also, if you buy an Apple TV Plus, you get a year of Apple TV Plus.
Right, so you have the Apple streaming service.
I mean, the Apple TV 4K, rather.
And they're doing their own original content. They showed some samples of that.
Lots of original content, including a new thing starring Jason Momoa called S-E-E.
I saw the preview,
about the world with blind people.
Yeah, in the future.
And the kids can see.
Well,
so that's
a first generation of kids that suddenly see with a world that's blind.
So it's crazy,
it's interesting,
crazy premise.
Allegory.
But Jason Momoa, you can probably carry it. You
know?
The trailer looked like Game of Thrones. It looked fantastic.
Yeah, I'm sure it was big budget. So, yes, you sign up for Apple TV is for $4.99 a month.
$4.99
right?
for the whole family. And what about this Apple Arcade's $4.99?
Yeah, that's the other thing. $4.99
for the whole
month.
Family.
They're getting the services more, right?
$4.99 for Apple Arcade. That's unbelievable.
Unlimited game playing.
And this A13 processor in the new iPhone. Woo.
So you'll really be able to play well.
Oh, yeah. It is super powered, ultra powered.
Yeah.
So what was the XR is now just the iPhone 11, just the good old fashioned iPhone 11.
But it's still in the lineup.
Same size as the XR with an LED screen. Everything can record 4K up to 60 frames per second now.
Yeah, real high def
video.
Everything, right? Even the 8?
No, 10? No, not the 8.
The 10 does it 4K.
Yeah, but not at 60 frames per second.
Maybe 30, yeah.
Are you going to have to get rid of that?
Get rid of my 10? No, a lot of people say to wait till next year.
No, no, this is next year for a 10. Anybody that's got an 8 or a 10, this is the year. You waited you waited 2 years. That's enough.
You don't have to wait 3.
Like I had a 7 plus, and I waited 2 years, and I got the 10S Max.
But don't you get
now,
the 5G?
Now, I would like to have, if I was a photographer, I did a lot of photography. Sure, I'd love to have
the new camera iPhone 10, catch me
11 Pro, but yeah. I'm not that much into it. I'm into the watch. So.
Yeah, I can tell. And the watch is the happening
and Apple,
thing.
Adam, yeah. You know why you didn't like that watch part? Because you have a 4. That's why.
Yeah.
And I have a 3. That's why I loved it. See, anybody with a 3 or less loved the watch part. Anybody with a 4 thought it was poo-poo.
Well, what do I...
Who cares about always on? I don't need that.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Until they see it on all these other new buyers.
We'll see about that. Anyway, I
okay,
I'm happy it's all
well, let's not confuse everybody. This is an iPhone 11, iPhone 11 Pro, which was the 10S, and iPhone 11 Pro Max, which was the 10S Max. All the rear cameras, the 3 rear cameras, which is an ultra wide, wide, and telephoto, they're all 12 megapixels.
12 megapixels, and also didn't they demonstrate how you can record more than one video stream
with a third-party app called Filmic Pro? Two of the lenses can be used to simultaneously record, including the front camera, not just the 3 on the rear, but
the
including
selfie.
The one.
So you can do some real-time camera streams,
interviews.
Yeah,
you're both in the front camera, and your interviewees on the back camera. You can record them simultaneously live.
Yeah, two streams.
Filmic
get recorded
Pro. Yeah, but no more storage. I thought to myself, oh, it's got to have a terabyte of storage for sure. With all this power.
Still 256?
Still, no, 256. Wait, that's your phone.
Yeah. Okay.
No, it's still 512.
512, yeah. 512, okay.
And I've only got like 50 gig left on my 512.
That means you should.
There's not enough room for 512.
If you're into film, make sure you get
the 512.
512.
Yes, absolutely.
For the memory on your
phone. Yeah, just with podcasts, I got 450 gigabytes filled up already.
Yeah. No, good point. So
okay, here we go. We're taking a break.
Okay,
I hear the break music.
You're halfway through now.
Bye, everybody.
We'll talk to you soon.
And stay on the line.
What happened at Apple today?
Back after the break.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking to Taylor Barcroft about what was announced from Apple today. You had a caller, Mrs.
One more thing about the Apple Watch. The Apple Watch Studio separates the bands from the bodies now. So you pick your body and your color. They have like a half a dozen bands or up to 8 or 10 bands to choose from now within the Sport Loop, Leather, and whatever the other ones.
Yeah, well, they look
anyway, you get to choose your band separately now. You're not stuck with the one band that Apple chooses for your color.
This is getting more social all the time.
And it's at the store, you'll be able to do it, and it's online also. You can do it.
Fashion,
it's called Apple Watch Studio.
I like it. Yeah, fashion is definitely one of Apple's high priorities.
All right,
okay,
let's
go ahead.
I'm going with Alaska Blue.
All right, well, hold on. We got a caller.
Hi, Bobby.
In case anybody
cares. Question?
Yes. Taylor, hey, I have to thank you for setting me up on my first iPad Pro a couple years ago. All I had before that was some iPhones, but the Pro is great. The question I have for you, Taylor, is I've been trying to download this iOS 13 beta, and I couldn't get it running yet. It looks like they announced something about a release of iOS 13 for iPad and iPad Pros coming out. And do you think it makes it look and act more like a laptop as opposed to looking like an iPhone? I'm wondering, because you can actually access files like a laptop, with iOS 13, can you, if you're limited to 512K, can you actually use external storages better that way? So you don't need all that storage in the iPad Pro.
Well, you get the 9.7-inch model, right, from the original iPad Pro?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So the limit was 256 storage, right?
I think so.
Now you can go to a terabyte, and you get an extra 2 gig of operating RAM that way. The 512 and less only have 4 gigabytes of operating RAM. You get the full-blown terabyte. It's 6 gigabytes of operating. So I would never get anything less than the top. That's just me. I don't want to run out. External storage is possible, but it's kludgy.
Uh-huh.
And I wouldn't want to
So max out on your memory now.
I max everything out.
Yeah, just max it out.
Do we mention that the watch has got 32 gig of storage instead of 16 now, by the way? All of them?
Yeah, and then the biggest thing with this was that there's no 5G.
Thanks, Bobby.
You know, some people are concerned about it and there's no 5G.
There'll be 5G when it's time for 5G to be there. Apple will be there. It's no big deal. You don't need it right now.
All right, so that's your answer to
it's
that.
It's not
then.
Going yet. It's
going
barely
to take
up.
Another couple of years, so you'll wait for the next
one. At least two more. Well, I think the rumors are that Apple put 5G in there next year, but that'd still be early.
Yeah, yeah.
Who needs it? You got Wi-Fi.
For the next 2A, thanks, Mamara.
You got regular Wi-Fi. That's all that matters.
Okay.
I know you use a cell system, so I'm a bad person to ask.
Okay, well.
My phone is just a big iPod Touch. That's all. It's just a super iPod Touch. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
I don't want to pay this for the cell system service. I'm paying nothing for my phone service.
Okay, well, fair enough. But hey, what
is Xfinity Mobile?
I want to ask you a question about the two new phones. There's a Pro and there's a Pro Max. Is that it? And there's $100 difference?
Well, $100 difference. The Max is 5 hours longer battery life than last year's Max. And the regular Pro is 4 hours more than last year's XS.
4 hours, okay. So those are the two high-end. And then there's a cheaper new iPhone for $699.
Yeah, that's the iPhone 11.
That's just the straight 11.
It was the XR.
So iPhone 11
XR,
is the...
XR, not XR, sorry.
And is that, okay, is that 256 gigs in that for memory as well? Or is
it's only 256. They screw you there.
Okay, but so for $699, you get the maximum memory they give you for...
No, that's 64.
Okay.
You got to pay more for the 256.
Oh, you do? Okay, so for the $699, it's like the super 64 gig memory, really.
Now we're splitting hairs.
Okay. Well, there's a difference between 64
and
256.
Well, I don't know. I've got to look it up.
All right.
You get 64 for $699. Then there's 128 or $50 more. $100 more, you get 256. But that's it.
All right.
And there are two lenses. I guess they sell like hotcakes, probably.
The new iPad that's coming out, they're supposed to have full support.
Are we going to come back to the phone? Or what?
We can, yeah.
Okay.
We can get back to it.
iPad,
I want to cover all the products. We only have a few minutes left.
Yeah. Talk fast.
iPad. It's the new regular
10.9
iPad.
10.9 inch.
Okay, I'm going to be back next month with the iPad Pro keynote
we'll
that will
detail.
Happen in a month. But right now, it's just the regular old iPad. Maximum storage is 128. Give me a break.
Okay, so short memory, but still, if you're going to be an iPad now, is it a good time to buy an iPad?
If you're on the budget plan,
it seemed like pretty inexpensive, $329 for a full size, and it's more screen, less bezel. I like that.
It's 10.2. It's a half an inch bigger.
Yeah, that's good. That's happening. I'll take it.
Yeah,
take half an inch. It comes in handy sometimes.
The maximum storage is 128 gig.
Yeah, well, I'm...
And that's $100 more.
Have to do more with less,
Than the 32, not the 64.
I use the
32
cloud,
or 128. That is so chintzy.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say get the Air or the Pro, but that's just me. And, of course, I'd make you get the Titanium Pro and spend almost $2,000, but, you know, that's me.
Yeah, you just go high-end. Mr. High-end here.
Yeah, as if I could afford it.
Hey, you used to be the rich kid. Oh, that's another story.
$1,549 for the 1 terabyte iPad Pro. Okay, anyway, iPad. It's the new low-cost iPad. Mm-hmm. The most that you can trick it out, it's $329 start, which is 32 gig. If you buy 128, it's $429. And if you buy cellular, it's $559. Mm. So you're up to $560 plus $70 for Apple Care.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well,
go back to the phone now, right?
One of the things I did notice was something that I left out. I didn't see anything on augmented reality or virtual reality this year.
Well, they didn't have time to talk about that very
much. They just showed
you
the cool games.
Video editing in the photo app. Wow, what a miracle.
Well, that's true. They're starting to put in more editing capacity. Yeah.
It's Face ID 2. It's faster, and it also works at a steeper angle. So if the phone's like that, it'll still work instead of having to pick the phone up and perpendicularly parallel to your face. You don't have to have it parallel to your face anymore.
Yeah.
That's good because I have to say, for me, facial recognition has been a complete loser.
Really? It worked for me just
fine
all the time.
Never recognizes my face.
What?
Well, recognize mine all the time.
I
no problem.
Much always key in my
you
code.
Should redo it again.
And I have. Maybe I've done it twice.
It's true. Maybe you have one of those faces the AIs just can't identify very well.
That's it. She's got the future face. She's
a
got
face a, that never an AI can love.
An uncanny valley for the AI.
Oh, and by the way, the screen power on the screen is up to 1,200 nits now on the iPhone, on the new one. The Pro, I think.
Okay. Well.
Battery life's better than ever. What else? Spatial audio. They say they got the audio is even more spatial from the internal speakers. You got to watch the video, everybody. You got to go to apple.com and watch the video. It's a compelling presentation from start to finish. I couldn't put my pen down. I couldn't put my eyes off the screen. It was so fantastically well orchestrated.
Yes, your kids will be completely absorbed into the Apple Arcade. Hello.
Oh, Apple Arcade.
They demonstrated Frogger and Toy Town. That was something.
Fantastic games.
Yeah, and a deep sea adventure under the water that was like very realistic. It felt like you were an undersea astronaut wandering through there.
Argonaut.
Yeah.
I just can't get into games because I'm too busy watching television.
Yeah, okay. Well, I just want to mention that.
I'm too old for games. I got to watch TV. Don't have time for games.
Right.
I got to sit there like a bump on a log.
What about the testimonials of all the people who felt like the Apple Watch saved
their
lives? Oh,
yeah, the Apple Watch testimonials, all these people's lives were saved and or changed radically by the watch. Yeah, I can remember when they were poo-pooing the watch when it first came out. And everybody was poo-pooing me for having an Apple Watch. Like,
well,
it was the stupidest thing they ever saw.
That your watch needs to remind you to stand up. I mean, I guess we, you know, had to realize that that's where we are as a culture. We need a watch to remind
us to stand up. I got a lot of those
reminders
with my Zero, but not with my Three.
Well, the band helps, doesn't it? It looks a little more stylish. By the bands.
Help you mean
loops? I mean,
loops?
Fashion. I mean, Apple's smart to get into fashion.
Well, yeah,
I mean,
yeah, the
cool
idea of separating the body from the band is really brilliant. They'll sell a lot more that way because people won't be stuck with a color that they don't like. And they get to choose from a lot of colors. You know, I love this Alaskan blue. It's beautiful.
Minute.
It's got a little gold edges with a navy blue.
Now, some say that the Wi-Fi will allow you to use the watch without the phone for many functions. Do you think it'll ever get rid of the phone? Do you think we'll ever just be able to go to the watch as the final?
In a few more years, they'll separate the watch from the phone. But I don't understand that. You'd have to have Wi-Fi to use the watch as a phone with the phone nearby. Remember, it's Bluetooth 5, not 4.2,
Bluetooth
so it's
5,
a much longer range. The phone can be much further away and still communicate with the watch.
Nice, nice. All right, well, thank you, Taylor. Thank you for being on the show here.
Thank
Appreciate
you for
it.
Having me, and everybody go out and buy a watch and a phone now. You can order today. You can
this
order
is
the watches
yeah,
today.
Yeah, iPhone 10 or less.
Oh, the watches, the order of the phone starts at 5 a.m., on Friday morning, not midnight, 5 a.m. Pacific.
Are you going to go stand in line?
No, I'm not buying a phone. I'm buying a watch. I've got my watch on order already from Mac Business Solutions in Maryland.
All right. Well, thanks, Taylor, for being on the show. Appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next month, I guess.
Yeah, see you next month, everybody.
Yeah. All right.
This is KSCO, Santa Cruz, Dr.
Next,
Future Show.
Amara Angelica.